Welcome back to another episode of Staycation by Localer. I am Larry Luke, Localer's head of brand and design, and I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. We usually do a video chat amongst the company a couple times a week just to catch up, talk about business, and sometimes we just have a happy hour, and this is kind of a look into that happy hour. So with that, Kate, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. I am Kate, Localer's Director of Content over here in Seattle, Washington, USA. It's true that we do usually kind of have a weekly chat with a nice local beer of our choosing, which is great fun. Unfortunately, it's currently 10 a.m. in Seattle, so I am not getting to enjoy this to the full extent, but I'm happy to be here nonetheless. And we are here.
Ooh, sucks for you.
Hear that? Yeah, it does. But we're not so deep in the quarantine that I'm willing to have a drink this early. You know, talk to me again in a month. And like, I might be drunk by noon, but so far, so good. But in any case, yeah, holding it down over here in the Pacific time zone. And happy to not only have Larry in my presence, but also Joa, our founder, our CEO, our fearless leader, coming out of Austin, Texas.
Yeah, what's up? I'm realizing that we're in three different time zones right now. So this is just a taste of the reach that Localer has right now.
Yeah, we global, baby.
I'm also drinking here. I'm drinking a shout out to Austin East Ciders, currently drinking a sangria cider.
I am having a Creature Comforts Tropicalia, very popular beer out of Athens, Georgia. So somewhat local, right? Not too far from here.
Yeah.
I am drinking a bubbly brand sparkling water. It's strawberry flavor. And that's because it's all the grocery store had.
All right.
We're out of LaCroix.
They did have a good Super Bowl ad.
Bubbly did?
I think.
What? Do you remember it?
It was with Michael Bublé.
Oh, okay. Well, that tracks. That's
so, Joa, our listeners know a lot about how me and Kate have been holding it down during quarantine, but what's the climate there in Austin, Texas?
Well, you know, I would honestly say that for us, there's kind of two things happening. I think one is people are accustomed to this being one of the highlights of the year, this time of year. You know, March is usually a time for South by Southwest Festival. And then April's a time where a lot of concerts roll through town. So I think there's one part of the thing that's happening here in Austin is that people are not only dealing with this quarantine situation, but they're missing out on the highlight of what is typically a, you know, average year here in Austin. But I think that the sidebar though is that it's spring here and the weather is amazing. This week it's been, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and the sun's been out. I celebrated my birthday 2 days ago and it was fantastic weather. So for me here, I mean, having the ability to go outside, get in a good run, go or walk around the neighborhood, it makes it a little bit easier to tolerate the fact that we don't have, you know, South by Southwest and all the music that normally is this time of year.
But this is like a kind of a lifestyle shift for you, because as anyone who really knows you knows that you love that nomad life and you never really grounded for this long. So how has that adjustment period been?
You know what? I would say that this is the longest I've been in Austin in at least 8 years. I don't think that I've been in Austin for over a month straight since Localer started. I normally travel somewhere between 150 and 200 days a year. So,
have you been anywhere for a month straight?
Oh, man. Yes. Last year, I spent all of January in Madrid because my girlfriend, she's from Spain. And so we decided to spend a month in Madrid, and it was amazing. The weather there was just impeccable.
And did you learn Spanish while you were there?
I did take classes. I wouldn't say I learned. It's a process, but you know, I'm thankful that we did have that month there last year, because I got to check a box on something that I always regretted from not doing in college, which was studying abroad. So I got to do that for a little bit. And then also, I think it just increased my kinship with local or global community, especially, you know, during something like this, Spain being one of the hardest hit countries, Madrid being one of the hardest hit cities in the world. Mm-hmm. So I feel for all the people there. We have friends there. The other day we were able to obviously talk with Marta, who is a local, or she's currently living in Barcelona. And she's saying that in Spain, you can't actually leave your house. So, you know, I definitely consider it a blessing that here in Austin, I'm able to, you know, run around or walk around the neighborhood. Because even in Spain, you know, you pretty much have to have a pet to be able to go outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and teaser, we will be talking to Marta in Barcelona on our next episode. So we're very excited to hear kind of what's going on over there in Spain from her perspective.
Yeah, if you've got questions of what it does to a person's psyche to not be allowed to leave the house, we'll have answers.
Yeah, she was saying that it's just the joy to go out and take out the trash. And I was thinking like, whoa, like I'm definitely not going to complain at all about this quarantine situation here in Austin, where the weather is amazing. And
you're not going to be protesting in front of a Baskin Robbins? Like, yo, I need to spend my MAGA bucks today. It's not going to be you, Joa.
So oh, man. Weird. You've changed a lot since this all started.
I would have pegged you as a hardcore patron of chain restaurants.
And, you know, when I started Localer,
I can't believe I just said that.
When I started Localer, you know, the first record I created was my favorite local restaurants, and it was with McDonald's and Burger King and Applebee's, and then someone later told me that those weren't local restaurants, so I had to kind of pivot. So
to Bennigan's and O'Charlie's.
Yeah, well, we've always prided ourselves on being a really nimble company. So I think that that's a perfect example of, you know, how you have to think under pressure.
Yeah.
So exactly. Joe, actually, speaking of local restaurants, I had a funny question to ask you. So if I magically, there's no COVID, and I pop into Austin for a day, where are you taking me based on what you know about me and what I like about Austin?
Oh man, based on what I know about you, I would say let's just hypothesize that it's a Saturday or it's a Sunday.
Of course, it's an ideal day.
Exactly. If that's the case, then we're going to have brunch at Comedor. It's a pretty new restaurant in Austin. It's been around maybe about a year. It was recently rated as, I think, one of the best new restaurants in the country. And it's Mexican inspired, but it's just so much more inventive than that. They have these absolutely unreal bone marrow tacos that you would kill for.
Do they have bubbly?
Of course they do. Everywhere has champagne.
But then I'm down with brunch.
Yeah. So I think we'd start there, and then we wouldn't overeat though, because right around 5 p.m. we would get to happy hour at Uchico, because it's just my favorite restaurant in the United States, the absolute best sushi and cold and warm Japanese inspired dishes. And of course, yes, they have bubbly there, but it's the biggest surprise in Austin from a culinary standpoint. I think people come to Austin, they expect to get Tex-Mex, they expect to get barbecue, but to have one of the best sushi restaurants in the country in Austin, a pretty quote unquote landlocked city, is pretty mind-blowing for people. So I would definitely take you there.
What are we doing between brunch and happy hour?
Oh man. I mean,
maybe a splish splash.
Yeah. I mean, if it's this time of year, if it's this kind of weather, then Barton Springs Pool for sure. Mm. I mean, I think if you were to list the places that people in Austin miss the most during this quarantine, I bet you Barton Springs is number one, especially when the temperature is like today. I think it's supposed to be 97 degrees here. So I think Barton Springs Pool has got to be number one on everyone's list of places that they wish was open right now. Mm. So yeah, that's probably how we spend the afternoon.
Amazing. Now we're just pretty good. I was hoping he would say we'd hit Pool Burger and kind of tropical also, but you know.
That's a big day of food.
I think
Yeah, I can eat.
Okay. I think kind of tropical would be more of a late night move. Like, you know, we maybe after Uchiko, we'd go to a concert or something, see a show. And then after
we'll
that,
we'll go see Mike Lee's band.
Exactly.
We'll go see Fan Club.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Man, I'm just like daydreaming now. Hard.
Austin's a great city to daydream about.
I've learned in this profession that you can crave like 20 different cuisines within a half hour period if you are consuming the wrong kind of content. And it's scary. You got to watch out, especially in times like this, where I don't mean to be, you know, the bearer of bad news here, but Larry, I don't think you can physically have Pool Burger, Uchi, Comedor, or Kind of Tropical right now.
I know. So, it's like, such a
bummer. What are you going to do with all of that information that you
but
have
you know,
in your head?
I think this is a word of advice for anyone is like, you still have to keep your headspace right. And like, I'm there in my mind. Right. So I'll do my best to make myself feel like I'm there and even replicate it. Like, yeah. I'll be making tropical drinks at my house and I'll be making burgers and crinkle fries and all that. Like, you I think what? It's important to still feel like you're treating yourself.
You know what? I will say some of these restaurants have started getting very inventive during this time. Comedor being the main one, their chef has created this new thing called Assembly Kitchen here in Austin. They deliver and they do carry out. And it's basically, you know, probably about a third of their menu, but they do have the most important thing, which is the bone marrow tacos that I mentioned. So they basically bring you all the ingredients. And you make it in your own kitchen. It takes about half an hour. So Angelica and I did this a couple of days before my birthday, and it was unreal. It was the food itself tasted every bit as good as it would taste in Comedor, minus, you know, obviously the restaurant experience, which Comedor is probably the best designed restaurant in Austin. So you lose that, but you definitely still get the flavor of the bone marrow tacos.
Damn, I would kill for some Marcel's right now. That would be so cool if I could just like go get like that corn au gratin, get a steak and all that, and just take it home and cook it myself.
Get the seafood tower yourself.
That seafood tower should keep, right?
Yeah. Just put it in some ice. Definitely. Definitely. Well, maybe you can, you know, like submit a helpful tip, an anonymous.
I'll just slide into their DMs. Yo, had a great idea for you.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I just want 20% off the top.
We know how successful I am with that.
So, Larry, have you been making like tiki drinks at home?
I tried to make some pina coladas the other day.
Uh-huh.
Was not successful, but I know what I did wrong, so I'm going to try again. I bought some pineapples and cut them up and put them in the freezer to like kind of freeze. So, they're ready to go at any point.
Speaking of pineapples, what's the latest with the white pineapple?
Great question.
My white pineapple is not doing well.
Aww,
like the one I'm growing. I have a 2-year-old pineapple plant from Kauai, Hawaii. And when we moved to our new place, like we don't get the same kind of sun that it was used to. So it's just kind of being fickle right now. But we'll see if I can bring it back.
Got it.
But I did think about, since we're on the theme of treating yourself, buying some more pineapples from Kauai because they ship them.
Man,
what does that mean? Buying like a pineapple to eat or buying a pineapple to grow?
Both.
Both.
Yeah,
okay. Both.
Yeah. Cause like when you take a pineapple, you snap the stalk off the top and you stick that in some water and some sunlight and it'll start to root. And then you could put that in soil. And so just to plug, Kauai Sugarloaf Pineapple. Me and Joa went to their farm.
I know. Once. That was amazing. And,
yeah, and they sell online. You can go to their website. I think it's kauaisugarloafpineapple.com. And you can buy a pineapple and have it shipped to your house. Best pineapple I've ever had.
It's unreal. Like Larry was talking in big game about it before I went to Kauai with him.
He was skeptical.
I was skeptical, but I got there and it was like, this is the juiciest, sweetest piece of fruit that I've ever eaten in my life.
And y'all meanwhile, remember that girl? Do you remember that girl? Who was like, she was like, we were on the pineapple farm tour and, you know, like,
she's being so disrespectful.
Yeah, she was like taking a bite and sucking like the sweetness out of the pineapple piece and then throwing it on the ground, like right in front of everyone else on the farm.
Huh.
It was so disrespectful.
And she was talking about she was you could tell that she was doing some kind of research or competitive analysis or something, because she kept remarking how her family could grow stuff like that good and all that stuff. And it was like, no, they can't. This is the only place in the world where you can get it this good.
Yeah. She was asking very pointed questions about the business, where you're like, yo, we're like on vacation right now. What are you trying to do?
So. The number of times I've heard you say, Larry, that unless you've had a pineapple in Hawaii, you don't actually know what a pineapple tastes like.
It's facts.
Yeah. It's like, if I had to assign you a catchphrase, it might be that.
That's a good one. I'm going to change my like Facebook bio to that.
Thank you. I know you're so active on Facebook. So I think that's
I just started being more active.
That's great. No, I'm not. It's not a dig. It's not a concern of mine. But so I've got a couple of weird off the cuff questions here that I'd like to sort of just pepper into the next little bit of this happy hour. But while we're on the topic of travel, I'll ask the first one. Joe, what's the last country you visited and what was that trip?
Let's see. For the last 3 days of January and the first 4 days of February, Angelica and I spent a week in Mexico. But she had never been to Tulum, so we started there. We spent a couple days in Tulum. But then what we did is we drove down about 5 hours south of Cancun to a small town called Bacalar. And it's on a lagoon, so it's not like a beach town. It's more of a laguna kind of situation. But it was just this super quaint, cute, small town. You could tell that it was prime for a huge kind of tourism explosion in the next probably 3 to 5 years, but not quite there yet. So it felt, you know, I first went to Tulum in 2008, and it felt very much like the way that Tulum probably was even a couple of years before I went in 2008, before it became super trendy, super popular and built out. But it was, the water was super blue, super clear. The food was great. And yeah, it was just a nice chill vacation in Mexico for a few days. So I'm really thankful that we got that trip in before all this started. So that was the most recent one. And what I'm really sad about is that we had a 4 to 6 week Europe trip scheduled for this summer that was going to take us to some cities we haven't been to before, like Oslo, Norway, Stockholm, Sweden, that we in Greece. So we had to cancel that, obviously. And so I'm sad, because every year I kind of make a list of cities that I've never been to that I want to go to for the first time. And I fear that this may be the first year in like 10 years that I'm not checking one off the box. So,
well, I know, I mean, it's the raw deal that we're all getting, but you know, one of the first things I assume that will open up, we've talked about this, but it'll start small. You know, if we're allowed to travel at whatever point in the future, it's going to be pretty regional travel for a while.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that is that, one, you get to explore your own backyard. That's a thing a lot of us don't find the time to do, but also, you don't get to go to new cities, but you can go back to cities you've already been to. And that's a whole different kind of experience that I think that gets overlooked pretty often.
Totally agree. I mean, I'm always amazed because, you know, people ask me, have you been to all the cities on Localer? And I'm like, well, honestly, I think I did the numbers. And out of the 131 or so cities that we're in, I've been to 97 of them. So I've been to a lot of them.
That's not bad.
But not all of them. And I've been to a lot of countries. I have a few friends maybe who've been to more countries and cities around the world than I have, but I don't have a single friend or person that I know who's been to more of the US. I've been to 49 states. I've been to all but one Major League Baseball stadium. And so to me, I'm looking at this as, okay, I've never been to Alaska. Is there a way where maybe Alaska becomes a more feasible trip that I can do this year to count off that 50th state?
I mean, in theory, it's a road trip.
Yeah. You can take a ferry from Seattle, or not from Seattle, but from a town nearby to Alaska. And you just take a tent with you and just camp out on the ferry deck for the entire trip. What?
Would you liken the ferry to a cruise ship, though? Because that doesn't sound safe.
No, not at all. No. The ferries are like, it's like a, I'm trying to like, it's,
you can
it's
drive
sort of
a
like
car a, onto it and stuff like that.
You can drive a car onto it. Yeah. Okay. So it's like, they're huge and they have tons of cars on them. Did you ever see the movie The Ring?
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. There's
remember it, when that horse went insane and jumped off the ferry and plunged to its death. It looks like that. Does that answer your question?
That's a very good example of the ferry. Yes.
Well, I had designs on taking that trip this year, and that one is not to be either. But
yeah, I actually
let's meet up in the Yukon, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually are. Angelica and I are planning, because we're not doing that big Europe trip, we're planning a road trip for this summer now. So we're looking at doing some of the big federal and state parks like Grand Canyon, White Sands, Yosemite, you know, places that are more kind of outdoor friendly. That potentially will be a little bit more accessible, like on our RV or something like
that.
So
that's pretty much going to be the wave, though. Like, road trips are going to be the thing.
I think so.
Which is great. There's so much fun to be had there. Okay, wait, both of you tell me right now, what's your favorite national park?
Arches.
Okay, that was quick. You've been there?
Yeah, of course. Why would I say someplace I've never been?
I don't know. That was a knee-jerk question.
I'm not a poser.
I know that.
I don't pretend to like stuff I don't know about.
Well, maybe we have some listeners who weren't sure and they needed me to ask the question.
Straight up, Arches National Park.
Okay. Yeah.
Most beautiful terrain I've ever seen in the continental United States.
Yeah. I would say Yosemite, and that's why I'm looking forward to going back. I think the thing that I've realized even more, though, every year I try to go to at least one state, you know, one U.S. park and all that, Yosemite, Joshua Tree, that kind of thing. But state parks are super underrated a lot of times, too. Like in Texas, we have Big Bend, which is the national thing here, but it's super underrated. I think people outside of Texas don't know about Big Bend.
Big Bend is awesome. Yeah.
West Texas, I've always thought, exists for Texans exclusively because nobody else is going
to
like.
It's
you're not going
to
go unless
there.
It's a road trip. Yeah. Exactly.
You have to be intentional about it. Kate, what's your favorite?
My favorite park?
Yeah.
I think probably Olympic National Park on the peninsula here in Washington. It has so many different types of terrain. It's got like a full-on rainforest. It's got these incredible beaches. It's got skiing in the wintertime and like epic vistas and like the most beautiful alpine lakes you've ever seen. And it's where they filmed Twilight. So, you know, that's an obvious draw for a lot of people.
Well, your photos there are always amazing.
It's not hard to take a good photo in Washington State, I have to say. But real quick on Yosemite, you know, Joe, we haven't done this in a while, and I guess it's going to be harder to do unless it's a virtual thing now. But whenever we would used to have team meetings and stuff, or I'd be in Austin, I like to think of what we would embark on as there was always a physical challenge, an intense run. I'll say intense for my taste, my speed. Or, you know, we go up to Red Rocks and it's not just a visit. It's a workout and that's all great. But so you have to, when you go to Yosemite, I'm going to need you to do Half Dome. I'm serious. I've done it. It's fine. You can do it, but you got to do it. I'm afraid to say.
Okay. You know what? Here's another idea on that. What we could figure out as a team, something that we could each do in our respective cities and do them on the same day.
That's pretty cool. As long as it's not like a half marathon, I'm not doing that, y'all.
We could all go on a hike in our cities at the same time.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's vibes. I mean, there's tons of great hikes in Georgia, so I'm down for that for sure.
They've closed all of the parks and the trails here because everybody. Here's the problem with it. I will say, PSA is that if you do go on a hike or something, of course, 99.9% of the time, nothing bad is going to happen, and you're going to have a great time. You're not going to get hurt. You're going to get back to your car. Go home, but you might get hurt. And if you do, you are not only putting yourself in a medical facility, potentially taking up space from a person who might need it more because of the current crisis, needs a hospital bed for whatever reason, but you're also doing it in really remote areas. So you're overwhelming a hospital system potentially, if anything happens to you, that's not really equipped to serve you. And And I hate to be the wet blanket here, but I'm afraid hiking is canceled for the time.
You know what? I guess we're not hiking, Kate.
Right.
You know, I will say something to that. I went for a social distance bike ride with a friend the other day, and he, about 15 to 20 minutes into the bike ride, he started having some like health issues. He started feeling lightheaded and woozy and we basically had to get off our bikes, and he was really short of breath. And I was really worried about him. I was almost thinking that he was having almost like symptoms of about to have a stroke or something along those lines.
Oh my God.
And the thoughts that ran through my head were, A, we were on this trail that I wasn't sure that an ambulance could get to. And then B, I was thinking, okay, if I call an ambulance, then is this increasing the chances? Like, is he going to get here quickly? Or are they only going to worry about whether or not this is like a COVID situation? There were all these things that were going through my mind that were different than if we were just on a normal bike ride and this happened. And so to that point, I understand like being very cognizant of the potential, you know, taxation on the, you know, healthcare system, if you, you know, sprain your ankle or whatever, is very high. And I'm worried about long-term effects of that right now. You know, I'm lucky because I went to the doctor to get a regular physical like the week before the shutdown here in Austin. And so I kind of have peace of mind, but I'm just thinking about people that had their, you know, regular checkups scheduled for, you know, late March or April that are delaying them. And as a result, they're delaying knowing about something that may be happening in their body right now.
Well,
I know. Sorry to get on the somber.
Now I'm all bummed out.
Well, it's good to think about. And I'm glad we're talking about not just the easy stuff, but the hard stuff too. But I have another question for you, which is, if you had to go the rest of your life without eating pizza or without eating pasta, which one would you choose? Think about it. Because here's what I want to say. There's myriad types of pasta. You know, pasta extends so far and wide, arguably includes like ramen and pho and all sorts of stuff.
But any kind of noodle dish. Yeah.
Any kind of noodle dish. But pizza is pizza.
Pizza's the goat.
Pizza's the goat.
You know what? You know what's crazy is, probably any other time before this, I would have probably said I can give up pasta, because my favorite pizza in Austin was at this place called King Bee, this amazing dive bar.
Shout out.
That my friends own.
Billy.
Unfortunately, they closed before COVID became a thing. So they decided that they wanted to sell their business. So they sold their business the last day of February. So thankfully, they made it out of this situation. They didn't have to deal with the situation as business owners. So I don't have my favorite pizza in Austin anymore. So now I would honestly say I could give up pizza. I haven't had pizza at all since this started, but I have had pasta. I mean, even for my birthday dinner, Angelica made homemade pasta, and it was amazing. So I would probably say I would keep pasta.
I agree and understand that pasta is like easy to make in these times, and it's very flexible, and you can do a bunch of different flavors with it. I mean, but the Ninja Turtles ate pizza. And pizza can do a lot too. And you can put all kinds of toppings on pizza. Like, I've had pizza with sashimi on it before. You know? So that gets me all over the place.
You've what?
I like to eat at fine dining establishments, Kate.
They serve pizza with fish on it at fine dining establishments?
Yeah, like at Umi here in Atlanta. It's probably the best sushi restaurant in Georgia.
Is it on
or
bread?
The Southeast? It's the best sushi restaurant in the Southeast.
Bread involved. Okay. I just would love it if you'd walk us through this.
So you've got like a bread thing that's the pizza base. And then you've got like arugula and nice olive oil, some soy and wasabi and sashimi.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
So it's not a red sauce pizza.
No. That's what I'm saying is pizza's flexible.
I haven't even thought about the sauce. Gross.
No, pizza's flexible. Like you can do a lot more with pizza than you thought you could.
Okay. No, I know. I mean, I've had Lunchables. I get it. They're pretty good.
Sorry, Barilla pasta, whatever. Like you know what? Pasta to me is like something I can make myself. And it's almost like a struggle meal where it's like, oh, I'm just going to make this pantry pasta tonight. I'm going to make it nice, of course, but like pizza has more variability in my mind.
Pizza's always a treat.
Yeah.
I see. Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And I can't do pizza as well as like someone else could. So I guess it's,
yeah.
Which one are you giving up, Kate?
It's easier to do. It's easier to be, and I'm sorry, I'm going to maybe upset a lot of like chefs out there. It's easier, I think, to make a delicious gourmet pasta meal at home than it is to make a delicious gourmet pizza meal at home. If I had to pick, I think before all of this, I would have said that I would give up pizza for pasta. But I still obviously love pasta, can get down on pasta every day of the week. And then unfortunately, I also happen to be doing that. So I think I've kind of almost gotten to the end of my rope with pasta.
On pasta.
Which wow. I didn't think was going to happen, but.
Quarantine changes things.
And you live in a neighborhood in Seattle with unreal pasta, unreal Italian food.
There's killer Italian food everywhere. There is a place.
What was that place you took me to with the amazing pasta? We met up at the bar. Yeah. I had like this amazing squid ink pasta. And then we had this other thing and like it came out wrong. And then they were really apologetic and they comped our whole meal.
I don't remember that at all. Was that what?
What? Oh,
I don't remember.
You don't remember? She's like, Larry came to visit. It wasn't memorable. Anyway, what are my friends up to? Let me text them.
I have no memory of this meal whatsoever. I really don't. I'm sorry. I remember getting pho with you one time. No, not pho. Poke with you one time. I remember, I think there was a I think we had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, but, yeah, that's what I remember. When you visited me in Atlanta, we had a cup of coffee. I remember that.
On my birthday, Larry posted a photo from when we went to, what is it, Fudan?
Din Tai Fung in Seattle, yeah.
In Seattle, yeah. And I burned the roof of my mouth on those dumplings.
That
means you did it right. You're supposed to put a flaming hot dumpling in your mouth and burn the entire insides. That's like the point.
Yeah.
You got to go.
I think Din Tai Fung is doing delivery right now. So I'm getting ideas now for lunch. We'll see.
What a luxury to have them in your own backyard.
It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. Okay. I have another question for both of you. Are you ready?
All right.
Would you clone yourself if you could?
Wait, would say it again?
Would you clone yourself if you could? If the technology existed, money's no object or whatever. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Think about it out loud if you want.
Okay.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
So my clone would be like its own conscience. Like I wouldn't know like what that clone is thinking.
No, exactly. Right? Yes. It would be just a duplicate of you, but you're not cosmically linked.
Could I command my clone? Would I have would I be able to command my clone to do whatever I say?
I feel like you're asking a question about your own personality right now and you would do whatever.
My clone wouldn't listen to me, I don't think.
Okay.
But in theory, it would be cool to have a clone so I could be like, yeah, why don't you go to the tailgate so I don't have to go? Or why don't you go like have coffee with this bro that hit me up that wants to pick my brain so I don't have to go? You know what I mean? Like send him around. But if knowing myself, I wouldn't listen to myself. So I guess not. I guess the answer is no.
I would also not clone myself, but for a different reason. And for me, because I've traveled so much around the world and I've met people through so many serendipitous situations, I wouldn't like the idea of another version of me being out there, especially if that version of me had free will and was going out and meeting people for the first time and possibly preventing me from having a kind of a serendipitous interaction with that person in the same way. Mm. I mean, a perfect example is I have a couple friends, Johnny and Jenna. They live in San Francisco and they're some of my best friends now. I met them about 2.5 years ago. I was on a solo trip in Colombia And I was hiking up Montserrat, which is the highest point in Bogota, where you can kind of look over the city. So I was hiking up this thing, and they took the trolley to go up to the top. And right as they were getting off the trolley, I had finished hiking up the top of it. And I saw them over there, like 10 feet, 15 feet away from me. And they saw me coming up. And so they just turned to me randomly and asked her, like, did you just run up that? And I was like, oh, yeah, I did. And we struck up a conversation. And the next day we hung out, and then we saw each other again in Medellin a few days later. And then now I've hung out with Johnny in New York, in LA, you know, and Angelica and I just went on a trip with them to Yellowstone in October. And all this stuff came out of this random meeting at the top of a mountain in Bogota. And I hate the idea of a clone me having that interaction and preventing me from having that interaction.
I guess I never thought about the clone question that way. That's a good point. You'd have to be splitting up your serendipity.
Yeah, I would say if I was the puppet master and could control like the both of me, then I would absolutely clone myself. But if that clone has free will, then I don't want to have that person representing me.
So you like used to just manipulate the snot out of your Sims, then, is what I'm hearing.
Insane stuff. Yeah. I'd be like, go jump off that bridge and make sure somebody films it for the social media clout.
Well, also, Joa, if you mentioned that you don't love the sound of your own voice, you don't want to clone then. I mean, the level of like self-criticism and scrutiny for things like what do I sound like? That's what my hair looks like from the back, you know, things like that would just be. Or like, what if your clone, real talk, what if your clone got hotter than you somehow? This is a rhetorical, you know, for everybody. What if your clone started outperforming you in the looks department?
You get jealous.
I would get, and then you got a dead clone on your hands, and I don't know what.
Oh, wow. Sorry, just kidding. Oh, I didn't know murder was part of the
you know,
scenario.
I'm just thinking.
She's revealing the plots of the movie Prestige now.
Guys, I haven't been outside or talked to another human in 48 days, so just bear with me. I'm going a little insane.
Oh, man. Well, at least we have this podcast to talk to each other.
I think you're right. What are y'all doing this weekend?
This weekend, no big plans, but next Wednesday, we don't have a car here in Austin. I've intentionally tried to be carless, both for cost reasons and environmental reasons. So next Wednesday, we're renting a car just for one day to go out of town and do a hike, because the state parks, the governor just reopened the state parks today. Mm-hmm. And while I'm not supportive of reopening all the things and, you know, getting a second wave, I do think that the state park's pretty spread out, and the chance of being within a few feet of people is pretty low. So we're going out to Enchanted Rock to do a hike out there. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's nice. Love Enchanted Rock.
Yeah. Speaking of state parks, that's a great one.
There you go. That is a good state park. That's such an unusual place too.
It is. It's like, what is it? Like an hour and a half west of Austin. But most people don't even know about it, I feel like. Enchanted Rock is to Austin what Big Bend is to Texas, in the sense of like a small percentage of people know about it, have done it, and everyone else, maybe they've heard of it, but they've never been.
Well, they're all going to start clamoring there now.
Hopefully not before Wednesday. What are you
going to do? Not before Wednesday. Yeah, probably not. What are you doing, Larry?
I don't know. Some gardening, I guess. Maybe I'll try my pina colada recipe all over again.
There you go.
Oh, that's a weekend activity. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm also gonna, there's a new album that came out today. This guy, Tom Misch, and this drummer, Yusuf Days, they just released an album today called What Kind of Music. And I've listened to about half of it so far, and it's really good. And I'm sure the whole weekend that'll be the soundtrack.
Sweet. That's what Larry, Claire Curry, who we spoke with a few days ago in the pod, was talking about, Tom Misch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tom Misch is a popular guy on the Staycation podcast.
He's awesome. Him and it's the British people. It's him and I don't know if you've been looking at James Blake. has been doing some of the best live stream performances since this all started. So he's another guy who's been just like, I feel like taking advantage of this time to further his career without being able to go out and like tour and whatnot.
What is your take on the IG lives?
I mean, they're kind of becoming kind of like the Zoom calls where it's a little bit overwhelming. It's like, I'm annoyed by a lot of it. But
you know what I'm annoyed by is I'm not annoyed by IG lives in their nature. Uh-huh. And I've already gone on a rant about how I think you have to have like a certain amount of followers before you should even be allowed to go live, because it's embarrassing to like go into a live and see like only two other people in there. I don't want that. But the most annoying thing is having somebody else on Twitter live tweeting an IG live that they're watching. And it's like, yo, like, we don't need this from you. We don't need your commentary. Like, you're literally on two devices right now. You're watching something on your live and you're tweeting from your computer. Like, that's depressing for me, and I'm embarrassed for you. You know what I mean?
I would say
that. How do you really feel about this, Larry? I feel like you haven't put any thought into it at all.
That's what occurred to me the first time I saw this happening. I'm like, yo, I don't need to know that like T-Pain played this song. Mm-hmm. You don't need to tweet that for me.
So what do you, okay. So Larry, what do you think about, you know, I'm assuming that you started watching The Last Stand, the Jordan Bulls documentary that started airing last weekend. What do you think about people that are tweeting during that?
Live tweeting that?
Yeah.
I think, well, that's a more in parallel with live sports and live tweeting NBA games, which is something that I do participate in, which I feel like is more of part of the cultural fabric than some DJ playing his records on Instagram Live. So with that, I've been participating and watching with that.
Okay.
You think it's hypocritical?
What I would say is there are certain DJs who, to your point about certain number of followers, there are certain DJs who are of a certain magnitude that when they go live, it makes sense. Like D Nice obviously had a huge one with the quarantine, club quarantine. Mick has been doing a lot of IG lives. They've been doing these versus battles now. Swizz Beatz has been hosting these things, I think, with different producers and rapper, whatever.
I think it's just sad when your local DJ is like, I'm going live now. And I'm like, bro, man, this isn't going to be good for your numbers. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Probably not, bro. But send me the hyperlink to tip you so like I can feel better about you being sad.
I have seen that. I definitely have seen that. I saw one local DJ who's otherwise, I would assume he's a very progressive kind of probably Bernie Sanders type of person. He was kind of cheering on the governor of Texas when he was saying that they wanted to kind of reopen certain things because he missed DJing in bars and whatnot. And I'm like, that's not a high enough priority societally or essentially that we need to risk our health so that you can DJ in a dive bar in East Austin.
Yeah.
Wow. I think to be able to zoom out and have a little bit of self-awareness is a quality that is nice to have, but I'm realizing more and more that people don't have that.
What do you mean?
Like, to know that what you're saying and putting out there in regards to like, yeah, open the bars so I can DJ and, you know, catch my Friday wage is not that important. And you kind of look clowny when you say that. So
here's another example of that. That's
like, I would never say that.
Here's another example of that point, Larry. And this is a little bit more kind of a business example, but everyone, you know, you're familiar with the PPP loans, the government money that mm-hmm. they created for small businesses, that of which, like, you know, Shake Shack and Recreate, all these big companies got some of it. And now they're having to return the money. So most people obviously bank with a big bank. There's a reason why Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Chase are such big companies. But here in Austin, there are also, you know, like a lot of cities, there's a lot of like federal credit unions and small banks and whatnot. So when people started going onto Facebook saying, hey, I applied to the, for the PPP money for my business through Wells Fargo or Chase. I didn't get money. I started seeing people comment, hey, yeah, that's why you should have a local bank, you know? And it's like, that is not helping that person in the, at that moment. Like if to tell them that they should have spent the last 5 years of their business banking with a local bank and after they've not received some federal emergency assistance doesn't help them. And so I've seen these people, they it's like this holier than thou thing of like, I was smart to have a local bank instead of working with Wells Fargo or Chase. And it's like, if that's not going to help that small business owner, then just like, don't say anything.
But that's just the nature of internet comments too. Everything's a troll. Everyone's not constructive. Everyone's just speaking from like vomit speaking from their point of view. Yeah. And they're not thinking about like how that message is being received. That's like kind of probably why a lot of people are straying away from Facebook, have strayed away from Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe, yeah. maybe COVID is giving Facebook new life right now. Who knows?
I'm back on it. Like, I'm more active than I've been in probably like 7 years on Facebook. And it's just because like I decided I'm going to treat it like it's MySpace.
And what does that even mean?
Like, I posted like my favorite Stone Temple Pilots YouTube video the other day. And I changed my profile picture to something ridiculous. And, you know, I just like, it's all about jokes on Facebook. Like, I'm not getting caught up in political commentary there.
And Facebook doesn't really understand that it's the joke.
Oh, yeah. You're Zuck. You are the joke.
Right.
Look at your tragic haircut, bro.
Oh. Can't... God, things are getting heated up here.
I know.
Larry's getting worked up.
I mean, Zuck, if you want to buy Localer, that's cool, though.
But yeah, we can talk.
We can talk.
Everybody's got a number. I mean, that's okay.
But until then, I'll continue to use your platform as my big joke, my social experiment.
Now look out for that Offspring their STP video.
The Offspring had some slaps, bro.
Do you know what the Offspring also has? Just a fun fact for y'all. The guy from The Offspring has a hot sauce company, and it's What's really it good. It's a terrible name. It's called, I'm pretty sure it's called Gringo Bandito. And he misspelled, Bandito.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say it's like pretty hot for a white guy or something.
Okay, well, that's a missed opportunity right there.
That's
is what
a
that
total
is.
Missed opportunity. That would be a great name for a salsa.
Well, there's always time.
Oh man, Larry, how much have you been playing like 80s night or 90s music since this started? Because I've been playing a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people probably know this that know us well, but me and Joa share a common love for like 90s rock, 90s alternative, and some 90s pop. So everything from Matchbox 20, Semisonic,
Natalie
Fastball, Natalie Imbruglia, Savage Garden, like we know the words to all of those songs. And so when we go on road trips, like we always like try to stump each other with a song, and like we can't stump each other. We know them all.
Oh man. I'm just thinking of various times that the three of us have been in a car where it's like inevitable that the 90s soundtrack is going to come out.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, yeah. Kate's like rolling her eyes.
I'm back there like trying not to crack. But once the beat hits, I'm like, do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You can't fight it. It's
yeah,
fine.
It's like, no one can fight the Michelle Branch when it comes on.
Or like if anybody anywhere in the world utters the phrase near me, let's go, girls. Like, you better believe I'm going on a Shania marathon.
Oh, wow.
I can't help it. I'm only human.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Joe, I've been listening to a lot of 90s, like, soft rock classics lately. Mm-hmm. Matchbox 20 is heavy rotation right now, which I never thought I would love to listen to that. But 3 a.m. is my jam right now.
That was pretty good. That's a good
one. Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I've been listening to a lot of music in general, but on the 90s front, I've been listening to like a lot of 90s R&B, like the you know, whether it's like the Boys to Men, like that kind of era.
Mm-hmm.
And then also listening to a lot of like non-US stuff. So even like last night, a localer in Minneapolis, James Taylor, made a playlist, like a global playlist of music from all over the world. And so while Angelica was making dinner, we were listening to music from Africa and the Middle East and whatnot that he put on this playlist. To me, it's music is one of those things where it allows you to still feel like things are normal, because it's not like, even if you're, if anything, you're probably listening to more music than you were before this.
Absolutely. So, and more podcasts.
Yeah. So I feel like this is a scenario where I can spend more time discovering than I did before, which I already did a lot, but now I'm just like, okay, I'm going to start using Spotify more than I ever have. I already use a lot of Apple. I'm Shazamming songs that random songs on Friends' playlist. So it's music is probably one of the things that I've appreciated the most during this time. And then also reading. I read a ton. We're probably reading like a book a week right now, which is like a normal thing, but I'm reading, I think, books that take a little bit more mental energy, which I don't think I would have as much time for. Normally, I think I'd be reading a little bit more fiction, whereas right now I'm reading a book about China right now called The Age of Ambition, Chasing Fortune, Truth, and Faith in New China. And it's like, I've had this book for a couple of years, and it's been like a little bit too heady for me. And now I'm like, hey, I got some time.
Now you got time for it.
Yeah.
And you know what else you got time for? Organizing your books by the color of their spine, just like Kate did.
And Joa. Oh, yeah, we both did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We both did.
Took out of my book, so to speak. I like
and, it. And me, the graphic designer, I don't have my books organized that way. I have them organized by subject matter.
That sounds like a choice that you considered and did like a hard pass on, which it's reading as criticism to me.
Y'all are trying to be like Pinterest.
No, well, in my defense, well, I think Joe's looks great. I organized my bookshelf by color like 3 years ago, which took all of like 25 minutes. But as soon as I got done, I was like, I hate this. But then it just became what my bookshelf looks like. Like it stopped looking like anything to me. And I know it would only take another 25 minutes to undo it, but I just haven't found the time.
My thing has been that, again, to the point earlier of this is the longest I've been in Austin or home at any time for, you know, the last several years. But also for up until November of this, I just got this house in November. So for the previous 2 years, I was nomading around the world. So I did not have an address in Austin. And so I think what happened is after, you know, we got everything out of storage, it just became this thing of like, okay, now we can finally make this place exactly the way we want it.
Yeah, you got to nest a little.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, like, and this became like a little project for us, like right when COVID started, we were like, hey, what can we do together in the house? And so we're like, let's just do this.
That's cute. I take back my Pinterest comment. Halfway, at least.
Yeah, very begrudgingly, it sounds like. That's fine. All right. Well, I think we have we've done this. I think both of your beverages are probably nearing their empty point. So, you know, maybe it's time to say so long for now.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should do this local or happy hour again.
I think so, too.
If people enjoyed this. And so if anyone wants to reach us, I'm Larry@localer.com. Larry Luke on all social media is no E on the Luke.
I'm Kate@localer.com. Kate's with a C. And Instagram, I'm Kate.Smithson.
And I am Joa Spearman. That's J-O-A-H, like Noah with a J. Spearman is the way that it sounds. I'm at Joa Spearman on Instagram, Twitter. My email is Joa@localer.com.
Great. All right. Well, if we're going to do this again, then I would like to ask you both one cliffhanger question to, you know, just have something to a thread to pick up the next time we're all united on the chat, which is okay. Don't answer now. Just think about it for like a while.
This isn't the kindergartner question.
No. This is just,
that's not appropriate for this podcast.
Kate. I don't know what you're talking about.
Way too dark.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you would rather have 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? I think there's a lot to consider, but not now. That's what we're going to take the weekend.
All right, we'll pick up later with that. All right, thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.